Welcome back, our faithful winners, to another crazy episode of One Nothing Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda, and I have our daunting and dashing Duke of Darkness, David.
Hey, everybody.
You know, we meet some of the most amazing podcasters, and it always gives me a special joy when we bring one or two to the show that just full of talent. And we have done just that today. And I would like all of you to help me give a very special welcome to Tracy and Jeremy, hosts of Total Conundrum Podcast.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Super excited to be here. I've been biting at the bit waiting for this crossover.
All right.
Me too. Oh my gosh. So I wondered, before we get into anything, I just wanted to have you two tell us a little bit about what went into your podcast and where the inspiration came from and why you started Total Conundrum.
Well, basically, in the career that we have, we have a lot of downtime, a lot of time where we can just listen to things. Music got redundant. And so I started searching for something different, and I'd never listened to podcasts before. So I dove into the world of podcasts, and I kind of drug Jeremy with me. And then after
painfully,
after listening to him for a while, we kind of both got the itch, and we're like, we could do this. We should do this.
Yeah, let's do it.
It'll be easy, they say.
I love true crime.
So I really like true crime, but I also like the paranormal, the weird, the strange, the unexplained. So we kind of did a conglomeration, meshed it together, and we came up with Total Conundrum. And because we figured true crime and the paranormal is a conundrum. It's, you know, it's kind of unanswered questions. And so that's how we kind of got into it. And we so far are loving it. A lot of work, but it's so much fun.
I love to hear that. Where did you come up with the name Total Conundrum? Well, I know you just told us like the theme of it, but what made you think of that when you chose that as the name?
It took us a long time. We were kind of, everything that we came up with was already taken, or it was too close to something else. And so I just started searching for synonyms of different things, and it came up with conundrum came into it, and I'm like, total and conundrum.
Yeah, and we're 80s kids, so that's where the total came from.
Yeah.
Totally, man.
I love that.
It's real interesting because, you know, when you search for you guys, it's just you, basically.
Yeah, we like that.
You know what I'm saying? There's not a whole lot of that. Yeah. Same thing with, One Nothing. I didn't come on right away. I came on a little later, and I was, like, just amazed with that name, because you type that name, and only one comes up, right. And it's awesome. I love that, too.
Yeah, that is nice, and we didn't think of that factor when we found the name, but it is very unique. And it really kind of melded into this whole thing. Jeremy had this total vision of what he wanted for the logo and everything, and he ran with it, and I love how everything turned out. So
yeah, it looks great.
I did put a lot
of, I was gonna say, I've never seen a cute brain before, but you guys really take on that.
Yeah, I guess I did put quite a bit of thought into it, because I wanted to make sure on all the social medias I was able to capture that name, along with, you know, the website and everything else. So.
Yeah, he's got history in web design, and we both have history, and we are both IT geeks. That's how we met years ago. And so the two geeks meshed together, and now we're jacks of all trades and masters of none.
The best way to be, though, and I love that you guys already had some knowledge about it before going into it, because that just sets you up for so much success. I still know nothing, but it pales in comparison, I'm sure. I have a feeling you guys have saw this coming, but we are going to play Red Flag, Green Flag with you. So if you don't know the premise, a red flag is any bad characteristic or any habit that a stranger would look at as like a negative attribute. And a green flag is the opposite. So something that a stranger would see about you and be like, that's a really positive attribute. So do you each have a red flag and a green flag about yourselves that you'd share? And it doesn't have to be super dark. You'd be like, I stub my toe a lot.
What did you want first, a red flag or a green flag?
Either or.
I guess a green flag for me is a lot of people say that I'm very, very approachable, very friendly, and I'm easy to talk to type, you know, so like easy to approach.
Yeah, I can vouch for that for sure.
She's very bubbly. Yeah.
Very bubbly.
Yeah, I like that. Bubbly.
Yeah.
But I guess a red flag, which is kind of contradicting, is I've had people tell me that some people say that they're scared to approach me because I have major RBF. Resting bitch face, I guess.
Those people are crazy.
I've had more people tell me that lately, and I'm like, I guess I must just be lost in thought. Because I'm not a bitch at all. Yeah, I totally, I was unaware that I had a resting bitch face. How about you, Jim?
I don't know that that's a red flag, though. I don't know that's a red flag.
You know? I mean, it keeps like overly friendly people at an arm's reach, if nothing else. So yeah, at least if he wants some peace and quiet, like you're less likely to be approached. I mean, there's some positives to it. Glass half full, you know.
Yes. But I also have kind of Amanda's red flag where you get involved in situations you shouldn't be in.
My brethren.
Yeah, I was at Goodwill one day. And this woman was just humiliating the cashier, just yelling and screaming at her. And the cashier I was with, he was like, well, have a good day. And then all of a sudden I like looked at my friend next to me and I was like really loudly, I'd have a better day if people learned how to treat people with respect. And then I just like, went off on this lady, and then everybody behind me started clapping. So I get myself in situations that I shouldn't be in as well. So I guess that's a red flag too. Oh,
bleeding heart. I feel it.
Way to stand up for that person though. Seriously.
Yeah, yes. Way to go.
I hate seeing people being brought down like that. It's ridiculous.
And that's happening so much more these days. Have you noticed that?
It is. It really is. People just, I think the keyboard warriors are coming out into the real world too, which is sad.
There you go. That does make sense. Hey, Jeremy, what about you, my friend?
I guess my green one would be that, you know, I seem to learn things quickly so I can edit and do all this podcasty stuff. My red would be that I am shy beyond shy. I'm like super antisocial.
I feel you, Jeremy.
That's my red flag for sure.
Really?
That's my green flag.
He is.
I couldn't tell. I wouldn't be able to tell that at all.
He is very introverted, and we are like the total like opposites attract. When we first met, I'm like, you have to meet all of these people. And he's looking at me like,
No.
Actually, on our first date, my sister calls me and she's like, why don't you meet, you know, me and my husband for dinner with your date? I'm like, sure. We went from having a great date and like talking to Jeremy going completely silent.
Yeah, I tried to get out of this too, but I went to the bathroom and my wife ended up pulling me back by my earlobe. Dang it. Now I got to do this.
But his personality is definitely, it shines through, and I love that. And I think it is helping bringing him out of his shell more.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I couldn't tell. I wouldn't be able to tell. That's amazing. And I am exactly the same way.
No.
I'm really shy. I'm an introvert.
Pretty sure you're all those things. My leg, yeah.
No. I mean, you know, thanks to Amanda, I feel like I've really come out of my shell.
You're blossoming.
So that's a good thing.
We're all blooming together.
A flower.
Well, I don't know if you heard our back rooms episode, but Jeremy was like, what's wrong with this? I'd be okay being stuck in there.
I was right along with you until she got to talking about all the millions of square miles and creepy creatures. And I'm like, maybe not. But at first it seemed cool. I was like, I mean, it's just like being in an empty JCPenney's really. I mean, you know, some flickering lights maybe. But
That was a rabbit hole that I did not think that I would be diving into, and that thing was endless. I mean, the research on it was endless.
Oh my god,
it's crazy.
There's some rabbit hole action for you, David. You heard it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
So I have some fun little would you rather questions, and I just wanted to kind of do like a little icebreaker and get our listeners who haven't heard of you yet to kind of know about you. So they're off the wall and random, but
okay,
here they are. So question one, would you rather be forced to sing along to every song you've ever heard for the rest of your life or be forced to dance to it?
Sing along.
Sing along.
Both of us. Yeah.
That's an easy one. Yeah. I'm too old to dance.
David?
Yeah, I would rather sing along for sure.
Oh, gosh.
We tend to break out into song quite often when we're recording or just in life in general.
It could happen on your show.
And you said that's you'd rather dance?
Did you say dance, Amanda?
I already feel like I do. Just I catch myself, I'll be shopping, and if like a good song comes on, I find myself like bopping to it without even realizing it. So I'm not far off from dancing to every song I ever heard. So
I
mean, it would be
that.
Inappropriate like at funerals and stuff, but apart from that, I feel like I've got it covered. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure you're dancing in one of your videos, aren't you?
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Most of them.
I was just going to say that. If you haven't seen any of those videos, she's dancing.
Yeah, she's like spinning around.
With her microphone.
Question two. Would you rather have everyone be able to read your thoughts or have everyone you know be able to see everything you've ever searched on the internet?
Holy crap.
They can read my thoughts because usually it's like stay away. You scare me.
I was gonna say the opposite. I was gonna say internet because, well, for one, somebody's gonna have a hell of a laugh at the stuff that I search now that we've started the podcast, or they're going to think I need to be committed.
Probably committed.
But the thoughts, I'd like to keep my thoughts private because I don't like people to know what I really think of them.
Good reasoning, David.
I think if people were to read my thoughts, we'll have a lot more mental health issues out there. Definitely. They would not be able to hang with these thoughts. So definitely look at my internet stuff because really there's not much out there for me that I search for anyway.
Yeah.
It's all paranormal stuff. I'm always searching for paranormal videos and, you know, ghost this and cryptids that. And all day long, that's what I'm doing. So
yes. Your videos are amazing. Some of them I'm like,
thank you so
I'll sit
much.
And I'll start watching it and I'm like, it's gonna happen, something's gonna happen, something I can't watch anymore.
I can't even watch them at night myself. I will not watch them at night because it's too much.
So I'm gonna ask our third would you rather question, and it is, would you rather die from hypothermia or from burning to death?
Hypothermia.
Good lord, woman.
Why?
Because you just kind of eventually get to a point where you just kind of pass out.
Yeah.
Burning, you feel everything until you're done.
That would be horrible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, when you're freezing, the hypothermia, you get that illusion or that, what is it called, where you feel like you're too warm. And then you eventually just...
Oh, yeah, all your nerves dying.
Yeah, where the people sometimes are like, stripping their clothes off and stuff. I guess I would not want to be burnt to death. No, I mean, cremation is one thing when you're already gone, but the thought of being on fire, and that scares the living bejeebers out of me.
Me too.
The only thing that's tough is that burning to death is fast, and hypothermia, I mean, that's like hours of suffering before you get to that point. That would suck.
That is true. But I guess I still would go with the hypothermia.
How about we just say we're all going to go in our sleep?
There we go.
That's the best way to go. Let's do it that way.
David, do you have an answer?
I think that hypothermia, have you ever gotten so cold that it feels like you're burning?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 You know what that feels like? It's the worst. I mean, I almost died in a fire back in 2014. Luckily, I didn't burn at all, but I think I really cannot. I'm trying to figure this out. I think burning alive would probably be. Yeah, burn me at the stake. I'll do that instead. Because getting both cold to death and then it goes to a burning feeling anyway.
That's true. Well,
you're freezing and burning. And screw that. Just burn me. I don't want to do both.
Good point.
That is true.
So we'll lift your spirits now a little bit because that one was a darker one. But for this one, would you rather vomit on your most respected idol or hero, or would you rather have them vomit on you?
I would rather vomit on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Ditto that.
So, Tracy, who are you vomiting on? I'm curious.
Oh, my gosh. Like a celebrity or?
Superhero.
Just your most respected idol or hero.
Yeah.
Huh. Most respected idol or hero. Boy, that's a tough one.
It is, right?
Wow. I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of, like, favorite actors or actresses or, like...
I guess I'll have to go with Beetlejuice because I don't think he'd be offended by me puking on him.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right. Part two's coming out pretty soon, so that's going to be interesting.
That is.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Well, I guess one of my favorite actors is Mark Wahlberg, so we'll say him.
Oh, sorry, Marky
so
Mark.
Throw up on Wahlberg. You throw up on Marky Mark. Right. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
His music kind of makes you want to do that anyways.
David, who are you vomiting on?
How did you know it would vomit? Yeah, damn, that's pretty good. I'm a huge Ben Franklin person. I admire him.
Oh,
and I would
awesome.
Totally vomit on Ben Franklin. Yes.
Forever changing the history of United States currency.
That's correct. No one's vomiting on me. I'm just not going to accept
no,
that. So.
No,
that's yeah. just gross.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, for me, I'm sorry, Steve Irwin. I know you're resting peacefully in the grave, but I'm a puke on your grave. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
That's so fitting for you. I love that.
It is.
I don't want to be vomited on. So, all right, our last would you rather. Would you rather wear the same socks for 2 months or wear the same underwear for 2 weeks?
Good Lord.
I would
neither?
Say, yeah, neither. I would say
probably the socks
yeah.
David?
Yeah, I'll go commando.
That's not one of the options.
I'm not wearing nothing.
That's not one of the options.
Yeah, you're breaking
the rules
here, buddy.
I don't know. I feel like
here,
socks have way more potential to get growth. They didn't say what else you could do for hygiene. So I would just shower 8 times a day and wear the same underwear for 2 weeks.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Turning them like inside that. Out yeah. and backwards.
Yeah. Ripping off the lining.
That's creative, Maddie. Way to go.
I know.
She added a twist.
Those were fun. I just wanted some, yeah. I wanted a fun game that there's no listeners or losers for. So
I like that.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. Just to recap our listeners, we did forego segments for the last couple episodes as they were our specials, but we're back with them for this one. So at the end, we will have all of our regular question of the week and our joke of the day and so much more. I did want to give a moment to just have us give any shout outs that we may have. So Tracy and Jeremy, do you guys have anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to, whether it be a listener or a kudos to another podcast?
Probably just the fans.
Well, definitely our listeners. We'd love to give them a shout out there. Of course, we wouldn't be here without them. And as for podcasts, we've really been very blessed because of Amanda. I actually met Amanda in a Facebook group, and she brought me into this wonderful little, podcast community.
Aww.
And it's all, it is truly because of you. I would have never, I don't think I would have ever crossed paths with you guys. We never were on the Instagram. Or never were like utilizing Instagram, and Instagram is really where you need to be for this. And
that's the place to be. Yeah,
absolutely.
We were struggling so hard with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube but coming into this community, you guys especially definitely need a shout out. You guys are amazing.
Aww.
Courtney from Haunt's Cast, Farah from Conversation Cabin. They have also been amazing. Nisha from Hot Garbage. It's just there's a whole.
Yeah, she's awesome.
They are, or she. I haven't met Buddha yet, but I've spoke with Nisha quite a bit.
Oh my god, she's a hoot. They're so comical. Oh,
next weekend we have our crossover with them. We had one with Courtney awesome. Recently, and then Farah will be at the beginning of December. So, and I know you guys interact with these guys too. They're all amazing, and they're all so wonderful.
What a lineup! You got quite the circle, that is for sure. Instagram is for sure, like, just the community. I'm at the same problem. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and they're just not, it's hard to gain any traction with new listeners or people sharing your content. But the people on Instagram, that community is just so amazing.
It really is. It has been, it's been a very big blessing. And we have you to thank for it, Amanda.
Oh, I'd like to think you would have found some of us eventually just because you guys are so great. But I'm appreciative to have been the bridge that got you there faster.
You did.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Damn,
look. We all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We going to have this like
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit. I got like we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it.
Take that shit serious.
Well, I appreciate, Tracy, that you actually brought us together for something. And, you know, we have a little chat where we all can talk together. And you brought some other people I have never known, which is really cool.
Oh, really?
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah, I figured.
This really is. It really is.
You guys had the little circle that you were in. And then I had people that collaborated with us with, like, trailer trades and stuff. And I wasn't sure if any of those groups had ever crossed, so I figured I'd bring them all together. And
it's really awesome. Cool. It's like lighting,
right?
You know.
We're working on a very fun project right now. I'm so excited, and you guys are up on that project now.
I know it. Our gears have been going for a while. David,
definitely,
do you have anybody that you'd like to shout out?
Frankie, Northern Siren, she's awesome. She's one of our favorites and a friend, Stacy and Larry.
Oh, Stacy for sure.
Oh, she's awesome.
I love Stacy.
She's the best. We love Stacy.
Yeah, I know.
She's our kitchen witch.
Yes.
I definitely want to give a shout out to San Antonio. Thank you for listening, San Antonio. That's where I live. That's where I'm from. And I just want to give a shout out to San Antonio. I know our Spurs are working hard. They're not where they need to be, but they will be. And if you are from San Antonio, please give us a message. Send us a message. Send us a hi and hello, and we'll reach back out to you guys.
Yeah, maybe with a little gift. How about that?
Maybe, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Intriguing.
San Antonians.
Provocative.
Provocative. Wondrous.
Wondrous.
So I would just like to take a moment to thank just a few people. We do have a rather new listener who's been going to very great extremes to support us, and I just wanted to give her a moment. So Adrienne Boulian, if you're listening, thank you so much for all of your kindness and all of your support, everything that you've done. I appreciate it. It does not go unnoticed. And of course, to follow up with David, our friends Frankie, Stacy, and Larry for joining our Patreon and supporting us over there, just being so great, such amazing friends. We love you guys so, so much. We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you a trailer trade. That's right, we're bringing them back now that we're away from our special episodes and back into the nitty-gritty of the main episodes. We're teaming up with a few podcasts to bring you some new content that you might enjoy, and it helps get our name out there too. So this is not an ad, this is just simply a trailer for one of our buddies' podcasts. This one in particular is from Let's Talk Turkeys. There's a couple more sprinkled throughout the episode, so listen in for them. But if I could, please have your attention for our friends at Let's Talk Turkeys.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. I'm Movie Miss, one of the co-hosts of the great podcast about bad movies called Let's Talk Turkeys, where you'll find our format is a bit different than the other talking head programs you're used to. I'm a Gen Xer. My co-host is a millennial. So we're usually on the same page, but we do occasionally agree to disagree, and we always have a good laugh. Join us as we cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find quality podcasts.
And without further ado, we're going to hop into today's story. So, Jeremy, Tracy, for the first time ever, are you guys ready to step into the One Nothing time machine?
Oh, yeah.
David is halfway potty trained, and we got him fitted with some custom Pampers, so it's nice and clean. There's no urine, I'm proud to say.
They're marble. They're custom marble ones.
Custom marble Pampers. How good is that at absorbency? You maybe bring some potty pads just for the extra measure, but let's get in here.
That's all right.
David, we're going to scroll the year back to 1912, if you could. Let's pop by to February 7th.
You got it.
So we're stopping here briefly to witness the welcoming of a bouncing baby boy into the world by two blissfully happy parents, and their names are Ida Bell Sullivan and Arthur Cleveland Sullivan. They're over the moon happy, as you can imagine. In no time, they are able to bring their new bundle of joy back to their Greene County, Virginia home. They give him the name Roy Cleveland Sullivan. Is this ringing bells with anybody?
No. Not at all.
Good. I got me surprised. Okay. Well, I like to bring a new story, so good. So Roy grew up like any other boy in that time, although little is documented about his childhood, apart from the fact that he was the fourth of 11 children born to the Sullivans. So a lot of kids were popping out back then. He spent much of his time outdoors in the Blue Ridge Mountains, helping his father work the wheat fields and exploring the wilderness that the area had to offer. And one of the most notable and documented moments of his childhood is the time he was helping cut wheat with his father, and a little storm kind of rolled in overhead. And the storm sent a lightning bolt at Roy, who was very young at the time, and it actually bounced off the blade of his scythe that he was using to cut the wheat. And he was uninjured, but it like knocked him back and knocked him out of his shoes. And ever since then, he was all the more enamored with nature because of this. He's like, this is just, you know, I had this brush with nature. And as he grew, that was just an ever-growing passion, just the outdoors and forestry in general. He ended up falling out of high school, as his parents never were strong believers in like a proper education. But a childhood of time spent outdoors didn't really leave him stupid by any means. So he continued to hone his skills in the forest, and he eventually joined an organization by the name of Civilian Conservation Corps, and where he put his skills to use by building what is now known as the Shenandoah National Park. So by the time Roy was 24, he took a job working as a park ranger in the very park he helped to build, which was Shenandoah. And as you can expect, this was the perfect job. He's over the moon. He's able to spend time in this place that he loves and be paid for it, which is a pretty awesome gig. So have any of you ever been to Shenandoah National Forest?
No.
So I actually did a little bit. I spent some time around Luray, Virginia, and we went to like Kennedy's Peak and George Washington Forest. And those are part of Shenandoah, but it's this massive, massive area of wilderness. And I can't describe it. It's huge. But I highly encourage anyone to visit Luray if they have the chance, because there's mountains and caverns, and I don't know how it's not like a bigger tourist spot, but it's beautiful. So back to our guy, Roy, who's living in these beautiful Virginia mountains. So we're going to dial the year forward a little bit to 1942, and we're slowing down in April for just a moment. Roy is now 30 years old, and he's been a ranger for a little under 6 years, and he's really grown into his role. And at this time, he's stationed as a fire lookout in the Miller's Head Lookout Tower. So he's looking at the skies, he sees the storm moving in, and his job is to basically, you know, document where fires happen throughout the area from lightning, which is very commonplace in Virginia. But Roy is safely within the tower, or so he thought. However, the tower he's standing in is still in its finishing touches of construction, and it doesn't have all of the necessary safety features that the other towers have. Most notably, it doesn't have a lightning rod. So is anyone familiar with what a lightning rod does for a structure?
It takes away the lightning strike, so it doesn't hit the building. Instead of hitting, if it hits the building, and Ben Franklin came up with this, by the way.
Your favorite guy, look at that.
Yes,
serendipitous.
Yep. He he came up with it. And yeah, it protects a building from lightning strikes, basically.
That's exactly right. So it basically is a rod that reroutes electricity, and it like follows along a line into the ground, which grounds it so it can no longer, you know, conduct further. So this is not only a safety feature to protect people from being electrocuted, but it's also to prevent fires that are caused by lightning. So poor Roy is in this tower, in this complete unsafe structure in the storm, and he doesn't really realize that the lack of like safety features, but he doesn't really have much of a choice anyhow because it's the middle of a storm. So where is he going to go? And lightning is striking left and right. Basically, he's just taking his chances in there. But unfortunately for Roy, he probably would have been better off just taking his chances in the forest because the tower is hit by lightning between 7 to 8 times. He was quoted as saying, "Fire was jumping all over the place, and the tower was quickly consumed by fire from the resulting strikes." Miraculously, Roy makes it out of the burning structure without being zapped. And then as soon as he's a few feet outside of the tower, he's electrocuted.
What?
Even more miraculous, Roy survives this lightning strike. Although he does lose a half-inch wide strip of flesh from his right leg, he also suffers a nail injury to his big toe, and he has like a huge hole burned into the tip of his sneaker right where his shoe was. He later quotes as describing the incident like this. He said, "Have you ever been shocked real bad? It's worse. Have you ever been scalded? It's much worse. It's like being cooked inside your skin." Yeah.
Oh, my.
So for you guys, if you're, you know, you get hit by lightning while trying to escape a burning building, like you're probably not going to go home and buy any lottery tickets. But are you returning to work the next day as like a forest ranger after that? Or how, like after however many days worth of therapy and drugs you need, like are you going back to that job? Or is that it for you?
Hell no. Hell no.
It's a passion, though. Keep that in mind as you're making this decision. This is your life's passion.
It's my passion. Hell no, I'm not going.
What about you guys?
I guess if it's my passion and if it's the career choice that I want in life, I guess, yeah, I would probably go back. Because you would think lightning would strike twice.
So they say. Jeremy, are you calling it quits? You're going back? Good.
Oh, I'd go back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd say, bring it on.
Yeah.
Hit me one more time.
So Jeremy, you and Roy and Tracy as well, you guys are all built the same because this rugged, tough man who is always said to be like a young Gene Hackman lookalike, he goes back to work. He recovers. He's good. It is his passion and he did live. So he's like, apart from this gnarly scar that I can, you know, show the ladies, I'm good to go. So now we're going to get back in the time machine and go to 1969, July in particular. Our guy Roy is still working as a park ranger in Shenandoah, but it's been a good 27 years. He's 57 now. He has some cool stories to tell at the bar. But apart from that, not much of interest has happened. He does marry a few times, but ultimately ends up divorcing the first two for various reasons. And then he has a few kids, but all's good otherwise. Life is quiet. So this warm July day, Roy is just chilling, driving along this quiet mountain road, and a little storm gets to brewing overhead. And this is when most of our buttholes probably get to clenching if we were him. But Roy's like, he's in a car, you know? He's like an all-metal body car with rubber wheels. Technically, it's the safest place to be. At least that's what we've all been told, you know, that the car is the best place to be. So he has his window down because he's enjoying the breeze that's coming along with this nice storm, and all's well until a single strike of lightning hits across the skies, cracks into a nearby tree, and deflects back through into his open window of his truck.
Oh, man.
It strikes him in the head, what? Knocks him unconscious, and simultaneously sets his hair, eyebrows, and eyelashes on fire. So now his unmanned...
God damn.
Who did this guy piss off?
So now his unmanned vehicle is continuing to roll because flaming Roy is passed out in the driver's seat, and there's nobody there to steer it away from the oncoming cliff that lies straight ahead. I wish I could make this up. The car begins to slow.
He was totally like Ghost Rider, for Christ's sake.
Passed up Ghost Rider. The car does begin to slow because nobody's accelerating, but the cliff is approaching foot by foot. But thankfully, and again by a miracle, the car stops just short of the cliff's edge. So this is where you're probably thinking, like, Roy's going to die. He's unconscious and he's on fire and he's on the edge of a cliff. Nope, he amazingly survives again and continues to devote his life to the park that has now tried to kill him twice. Literally a year later.
Wow.
I know. Literally a year later, July of 1970, poor Roy simply steps outside of his home and enters the front yard. He's actually out there helping his wife, his third wife, Pat. She's like hanging some clothing on the line in a clear blue sky overhead, seemingly. A single lightning strike slams into a nearby power transformer, which sends it back into Roy's left shoulder, leaving it with a nice medium rare sear. Delicious. Jeez. This happens in front of his wife.
Three times?
Yep.
I guess in a way, he's kind of lucky, though.
Very. Well, yeah, depending on how you look at it. Is that the unluckiest person or the luckiest person? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he would have got hit directly, he would have been dead. So,
that's true.
You know, at least it's bouncing off of something else, which is taking most of that energy with it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
At least his hair's not on fire again.
At least.
Three times. I would never step outside again.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. And this last time it happened in front of his wife and she's unharmed, but she finally, like, he's been telling her, like, I keep getting hit by lightning, but she's like, no. But this time she saw it. So she's like, okay, maybe there's some truth behind this. So now eyebrowless, eyelashless, and adorned with scars, Roy goes to work on spring day in 1972, just 2 years after his last brush with death. And now he's inside his ranger station. He's doing some busy work and he's still in Shenandoah. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. But somehow, while inside the building, and I can't determine how, Roy was struck again for the fourth time by a bolt of lightning, which again, David, sets his hair on fire.
Oh my God.
If I'm Roy at this point, I'm just like, God wants me bald. I'm just going to shave my head every day. Like that's what I'm taking from this, you know?
Jeez.
So I joke a little about him going bald, but, you know, ultimately, sadly, it is kind of a sad thing because Roy starts to pick up on the theme of like being really unlucky and his mental health takes a significant decline and he starts to feel like there's a force that just wants his ass dead. He's just like, rightfully so. I would think the same thing. He begins to take some precautionary methods. And although he had never before been a fearful man, Roy was changed. He now jumped at the sound of thunder, and if he was driving and a storm rolled in, he would quickly pull over and lie down across the front seat until the storm passed. And he began to believe that he wasn't simply being struck, but was rather attracting lightning, and he began to carry around a can of water everywhere he went so that if he got struck by lightning and his hair caught on fire, he could put it out, which is really sad.
Just cut your hair off, man.
That's what I'm saying. You're so attached to your youth. Just shave it.
Don't go outside.
That too.
But I guess he got struck inside, though, so he's screwed either way.
Yeah, it is.
That is, oh my gosh.
Isn't that weird?
I know. Yeah.
That is.
And around this time, he actually begins to pick up on like some signs where he can tell that the lightning's coming. So he's again quoted as saying, "Just before it strikes, I smell a certain smell. It's like sulfur, and my hair bristles all over. That's the signal. And in about 2 seconds, no longer than three, it hits, and it's too late to hide." So he literally doesn't get much notice when this is about to happen.
Dude.
The next year, August 7th of 1973, Roy is out patrolling Shenandoah, and off in the distance, he notices a darkening cloud, and he gets really nervous, and he gets in his car, and he's gone. He books it. He is reported as saying that the cloud seemed to follow him and that as fast as he drove, it would almost tail him and keep up with him.
Wow.
Finally, after a lot of driving, he finally managed to outrun the cloud and he got out far, far, far from the edge of the storm. And he steps out of his car just to simply listen to hear thunder and he gets zapped. Far from any storm clouds, he is struck by a lightning bolt. And the lightning actually, this is the first time he sees it. It hits his left arm, moves down his arm into his left leg, follows down the length of his leg, blows his shoe off his foot somehow, and then jumps to his right leg. Finally, it grounded out at that point, but he basically is incapacitated. He has no function of his legs. He can't walk. And then for the third time, a flaming head of hair. He's got his hair is on fire again. So he starts crawling to his truck to retrieve the water can that he keeps to literally extinguish the flames because that's like the whole purpose of him having this water. So he does, but around this time, people in his community start to treat him really differently. They don't want to be around him. When storms break out, they like flee. He had colleagues that would be at work with him and would hear thunder and they'd be like, "I'll see you later," and just take off. And there was even a restaurant on Loft Mountain Street that if it was even overcast, they wouldn't let him in, which like, I can't blame them. Like, but that's really sad. That you just,
no, like, poor guy.
I know, poor guy. So June 5th, 1977, Roy is struck again. Struck again by a cloud that he reported was following him. So again, he, despite just all of his efforts trying to outrun the cloud, he was struck anyway. This strike sets his hair on fire again, and he stops believing that something is out to get him, and he begins to think that he's just, like, wired differently, which is not a pun. But he says, "I don't believe God is after me. If he was, the first bolt would have been enough. Best I can figure is that I have some chemical about me, some mineral in my body that draws lightning. I just wish I knew."
I'd be building a rubber house and never leaving it. Instacart.
Yeah, Instacart everything. Know,
Grubhub. All of those things you can sustain. Just build a rubber house, dude.
Do you think he had a high iron count, maybe?
I don't know. They said that they did like a full autopsy after the fact. They couldn't find anything that would cause all of that, but that's down the road later, so we'll talk about that. But
okay.
But we're going to go to June 25th, 1977. We're only 20 days since the last strike, so clearly things are escalating in terms of frequency. Roy's mental health is clinging by a literal thread. He's terrified to be outside if there's even a single cloud in sight, but he loves his job and his passion is all he has. Between his many failed marriages, he's just wanting to pursue this passion and his work as a park ranger. It's literally all he wants to do. So this one day he's out, it's a clear day, he's fishing from a little freshwater pond. He's trying to relax and just enjoy the moment. His little charred hair is still burnt and crispy, but he's got enough to not be bald, which he's desperately clinging to for some reason at this point. And then out of nowhere, a cloud forms above Roy, and before he can pull his fishing rod out of the water, lightning strikes, sets the remaining hair he has on fire. So this strike traveled down his chest and stomach, and when he turns to head to his car, this is when things get really questionable, but I will go over our sources in the end, so hang in there. So this is just research has stated this. So Roy, with a head of flaming hair, is calmly and slowly walking to his car. Like, he almost doesn't even care anymore. He's so used to this. He's pissed, and he feels victimized. And on top of everything else he's got going on, as he's walking to his car, he's approached at that same moment by a hungry bear who begins trying to steal the fish off of Roy's line. And Roy's had enough. And in this weird moment of revenge, he breaks a large branch off a tree and, head ablaze, runs at the bear, starts clobbering the bear in the head. And he's successful in getting the bear away, which, yeah, if some person who was on fire was like running at me, I'd take off too. Unless they needed help, but he clearly didn't. But, you know. So Roy has now been struck officially 7 times directly and more than 8 indirectly, if you count the strike to his side when he was a kid and, you know, the tower striking when he was in it. But just really, like you said, either the most unlucky or the luckiest. We did touch on a few failed marriages that Roy was in during his years, and their names really aren't of much importance to the story, so I didn't bring them in much. But the theme to take away is that Roy's many dabbles with love have been unsuccessful. In 1983... Roy is 71. He's now retired from the career that he loved so strongly. Whether he did that by choice or because he felt like he had to, I don't know. But he's retired, and he has one last attempt at love that ends with a bleeding heart of rejection. After losing his friends and coworkers and any other stranger who knew anything about his history, and then his hair and his eyebrows and his wives, and struggling to enjoy his one sole passion of his career that he had to give up as well, his heartbreak and loss is just too much, and it's the final nail in the coffin. And our poor guy, Roy, shoots himself in the right temple with a .22 caliber handgun and slowly but successfully robs himself of his own life. Wow. Nobody knows the woman who gave him that last push. He was still living with his third wife at that time, so all we can do is speculate. But there's some rumor that he like fell in love and she rejected him. And it's really sad because after all those years of scarring and burning and infernos on his head, that the pain he felt losing that love was more than any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Roy.
I know. It broke my heart for the poor guy. And while I was doing research for this, I actually came upon this little synopsis that one of my sources included. And I didn't want to summarize it because it's just so pretty the way it's read. So I just wanted to repeat it. And this came from Camposanto.com, who covered like a much smaller version of this. And they wrote, "Loving somebody who does not love you is hard. Roy Sullivan knew that, evidently. And so did the lightning that never let him rest. Lightning loved Roy. Lightning never loved any human being like it loved Roy. Out of the 5 billion people who were in the world, it came back to him over and over and over. He was the only one who could ever capture its attention. It went crazy for Roy. It followed him home. It watched him while he worked. Roy never wanted Lightning's affection. He actively tried to escape it, and it only ever made him miserable. The love that Lightning had for Roy was impossible to ever reciprocate, but it did succeed in claiming him. Lightning overshadowed Roy's life, bound them together. He will always be remembered as Lightning's unwilling plaything. It was a strange kind of love. To some, it seemed nothing more than Lightning harassing the shit out of an old man. But to others, it seemed like screams out of the sky, calling for an answer from Roy. I love you, requite me. I just thought that was so eloquently wrote and kind of a sad irony how all he wanted through his life was to be loved. And then he has like the strange infatuation where like Lightning loves him, but he never finds it before he dies. It's just really sad. I don't know. I like the way that they wrote that. So I wanted to include that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I thought written very beautifully.
Beautifully. And I was like, I can't even begin to summarize that and make it sound that good. So I just wanted to verbatim.
No, that's really.
It was like.
I'm sorry. That's really nice. It's really nice. But how do you love Lightning? You can't.
Right.
You can't. Love
it's like Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, yes. It loves him though.
Man. Crazy. Wow.
So like much of you, the story has a lot of eyebrows raised because obviously it seems very outlandish. And there is documentation of all 7 of Roy's lightning strikes by the Shenandoah National Park superintendent. It's important to know, though, those were reported by Roy and nobody but his wife was ever present for these incidents. He did have the scarring and the hair loss and the, you know, burns and everything to prove each claim. But you also have to take into account Virginia does boast one of the highest concentrations of lightning strikes in the U.S. And adding to that, Roy spent most of his time outdoors in storms as a fire lookout. So the statistics for him are, of course, going to vary a lot more than your typical resident. But this is just one of those stories that you only have words to go by. And to this day, Roy does appear in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most reported lightning strikes to any person. And that is the very sad story of Roy Sullivan, also known as the Human Lightning Rod, who now lies in rest at the Edgewood Cemetery in Augusta County, Virginia.
I think he should have moved to Arizona or something. Where they barely have any rain or storms.
We'll be right back after this short note from our bestie at Where the Weird Ones Are podcast.
What's up, frickin' weirdos? My name is Kevin. And I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and wheretheweirdonesare on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything and stay weird.
So I wanted to hear from you guys and what you would do in Roy's position. So let's even say you've been struck 3 or 4 times. Like, are you guys, I know Tracy, you're building your rubber house, but are you guys doing anything different than Roy?
Yeah, rubber house, totally.
Are you going to continue towards like your passion of forestry? Or are you giving up on that?
No, hell no. I would be building my rubber house in Arizona. How about you guys?
Yeah, I think definitely wouldn't stay there. Definitely wouldn't stay there. But I would probably switch. I mean, you can have several passions in your life. You don't have to hang out in the forest all day. Screw that. I would do something else. I would be on a podcast. It's indoors. You're safe indoors. You know, yeah, that's what I would do.
He wasn't, though.
He wasn't, yeah, no.
Struck indoors.
Stay away from windows, boy. I ain't going to do that, no.
Rubber house.
Rubber house.
That's probably the best way to go.
I'm standing by it.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I would probably stay there.
Would you?
I'd be like, well, I've already been struck 4 times. I should be good. She ain't gonna kill me now.
I think there's like a cap on how many times.
The lightning didn't kill him. It was the gun. So.
That's true.
That is true.
So
that's crazy.
He just wanted his hair.
I know.
You know, if he wouldn't have pissed off Mother Nature, he wouldn't have had a problem, you know.
Mother Nature was just trying to tell him he looks better bald.
That was probably his first wife. Well, he probably cheated on her, and you know, she had to get revenge.
She was in love with him, so according to the poem.
You're not picking up any hussies with that hair.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any other people in that area that was struck several times.
I don't know. So I looked up the statistics.
The oddest one was the boat because, I mean, depending on what kind of boat, but I mean, if he's like in an aluminum boat and he's sitting on water, you know, those are all conductive.
Yeah.
He would have been more than just got a hole in his foot. He would have been totally fried. So, but, you know, maybe he was in a wood boat and... I don't know.
I think he was fishing from shore because I think that's how the bear came up at the, up to him.
Oh, okay.
Well, that dude should have played the lottery.
I mean,
yeah, probably would have did better at better than I did at pool tab.
Yeah.
So I did start off with a couple sources for this. So I did use Wikipedia as a starter, but then I cross-checked information with IrishCentral.com, GuinnessWorldRecords.com, Campo Santo, the Weather Network, the New York Times, which did include an original article. So I'll post that on our socials, and FindAGrave.com. So as always, if you find an inaccuracy, please email us with what we got wrong and a reliable source so we can issue a correction at onethingpodcast@gmail.com. For question of the week for next week is going to be, would you give up on your passion if it threatened your life? Why or why not? And our hint for the next episode is, it is our Christmas episode. So it'll be out December 12th. Good way to kick off the holiday with some morbid spirits. Your only hint is nobody to blame. If you want better hints, you should check out our Patreon because we do release some teasers and behind the scenes and bonus episodes. So go check that out. Lastly, I have our joke of the day. You guys ready for this?
Yeah. Bring it on.
Ready.
Ready.
A married couple are walking around a national park and they spot a unique deer-like animal in the distance and they stop to admire it. Soon, a small gathering of park visitors are standing beside them and they're just watching this deer in awe. Just then, a goofy-looking guy with large glasses in a park ranger uniform approaches them and he says, "This is Red Deer, Cervus elaphus. It is pleased to meet you." The dorky employee then walks away, leaving the couple baffled, and approaches a woman a few feet away, and he says the same thing. "This is Red Deer, Cervus elaphus. He's pleased to meet you." The ranger continues approaching everybody and saying the same thing, and the couple just look at each other like, what is with this guy? The ranger makes his way closer to them. They stop him, and the woman asks, "Can I ask why you're saying that to everybody?" And the ranger replies, "My boss sent out a memo that the species hadn't been introduced in this area yet, so I'm just helping."
Oh my gosh.
So silly and stupid, but I thought it was cute. Oh, man.
I love it.
So Tracy and Jeremy, it's been such a pleasure having you with us tonight. Thank you for sharing your time with us and your opinions on this tale. If you could you leave us with where our listeners can find your podcast and where we can follow you on social media?
Yeah, definitely. We are on all the platforms that you listen, your favorite platforms, we're probably on it at, you know, it's Total Conundrum. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. In the near future, we're going to start video recording. Ooh. Our recording sessions. I'm not very excited about it, but Jeremy is. I can edit out my speech impediments, but you know, I can't edit out my stupid looks.
Oh my gosh. You're gorgeous. You act like I haven't seen you before.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking like the silly expressions that you don't realize that you make and then you catch, you know, that kind of thing.
That's what I'm worried about.
And other people probably find them endearing, but you yourself are your harshest critic.
I know that. So.
That's gold, Tracy. Gold.
Yes. But so that's a project in the future. We do have a Patreon. We don't have much content out there yet. We're working on trying to get that built up and But yeah, it's pretty much total conundrum across the board.
Love that. Consistency. You guys can find them so easily. Yeah. There's no reason not to. Just start Googling right now. Open your phone immediately.
Just look for the pink brain.
There you go. The cute pink brain.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, David. Do you want to share where we can get some of that awesome Down the Rabbit Hole merch?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram. It's _ down the _ _. And I do have merch. I have hoodies. Hoodies are hot right now. I have some t-shirts. I have all sorts of stuff. And you can go to www.deeperdown.store. Or you can go to Etsy. You can find me on Etsy too, Deeper Down.
I love it. And he's got some good threads.
I'll have to definitely get some merch.
They're so comfy. So comfy. Well, winners, as always, thank you for joining us for this one. Have a safe and beautiful day wherever you are. And don't forget to
stay alive.
Before we head out, please hear a few words from our friends at Truly Unique Jewelry.
With all of the jewelry options mass-produced for each season, you're left wanting more when it comes to pieces that showcase your individual style. Head over to trulyuniquejewelry.com and scroll through handmade one-of-a-kind options for every budget, with pieces starting under a dollar. Beautiful costume jewelry to fit every age and every budget. Custom orders are also available for no additional charge, and they flat rate ship so you can fill your jewelry box with matching pieces for every outfit in your closet for one shipping fee. From earrings to bracelets to necklaces, even rosaries and combination sets. Cost is no longer a barrier to having the looks that you want that scream uniquely you. Feel good about supporting a small business while you're updating and expanding your jewelry collection, adding pieces for every occasion. Visit trulyuniquejewelry.com. And remember, it's unique spelled Y-O-U-N-I-Q-U-E.